Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you, and I really mean that. I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. What's been so amazing as I've been around all over the country this year speaking at conferences is I hear those very words from people who are outside our network because they listen on the app, they listen online, and they'll say that, I'm totally inspired in my faith walk. I have a deeper understanding of God's Word. I have a heightened awareness of His presence in my life. And we are so grateful to hear from you. I can't even tell you what it means to us. Well, today I want to talk about end times. And I want you just to hang with me for a moment, because you hear a lot of talk about end times, about Bible prophecy, the judgment of God, how difficult times will get, that they'll get tougher even still from what we're seeing today. And I think if you're not careful, you'll get so focused on the difficult days on earth that you forget about the bright future ahead in heaven. So today, we're going to look up. Our Bible prophecy pro, Jeff Kinley, joins me. We try to get him on once a month, and we're going to draw from one of his podcast episodes. And his podcast, I introduced it to one of my brothers, and he said it's one of his favorites now. It's called Prophecy Pros, and we'll link that up in our show notes today. But one episode really grabbed me that we're going to draw from today, and he titled it, Your Bright Future in Christ, The Hope of Every Believer in the Last Days. And as we get ready to jump into this conversation, you know, I always love it when you text me and just chime in, let me know you're there. I want to ask you this question. When you think about eternity, give me the top three things that you just are most looking forward to. When you think about eternity, what are the top three things you're most looking forward to? Text me, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement, then we'll hear from Jeff Kinley. If you're traveling this season, take us with you. You can do so by downloading the free app. Go to the App Store, look for Faith Radio Network. You'll find it there, and that way you can listen to our live shows anywhere, anytime, and catch podcasts if the live show doesn't work for you. We've got people doing that all over the world. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Jeff Kinley is a former pastor, best-selling author of 39 books, a recognized expert and thought leader in the field of Bible prophecy. Having authored 11 books on the subject, he connects with his generation, engaging them with biblical truth in a fresh, practical way. He's busy with his speaking schedule. It's got him traveling coast to coast internationally in 2022, speaking at churches and conferences. We just learned he's in a doctoral program. He also hosts the Prophecy Pro podcast, and he joins us about once a month. He's been married to his beautiful wife, Beverly, for 40 years, and they've got three grown sons. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Susie, great to be back with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, looking forward to the conversation. Before we dig into the topic of a recent episode from your podcast, tell me what God's been speaking to you about these days.
Well, I've been teaching on Wednesday nights to a local Bible study here in Little Rock to some great believers that have just gathered to learn God's Word. We've been going through the book of Romans verse by verse. And as God would plan it, we landed in the midst of Romans chapter 11 as soon as this war in Israel broke out. Hmm. And it's just been affirmation to me through Romans 11 that God is not a promise breaker, that we have so many people in our lives, we break promises to ourselves, but God never breaks His promise. And He's made some beautiful promises to Israel about their future, about regathering them together physically and then ultimately spiritually. And it just gives us hope to know that in the midst of darkness, that the light is coming and that God never breaks His promise. So that's kind of one of these anchor points I like to drive down in my own life to remind myself of that.
That's so, so good. I want to read this excerpt, and it's from one of your other books, but I feel like it bears repeating in light of our topic today. Fear is currently outpacing faith among God's people. In the church, confusion is clouding clarity. Ignorance is spreading faster than knowledge, and uncertainty is overshadowing confidence. And yet, not once in Scripture are we ever told to fear the future. Quite the opposite. As repeatedly, God instructed His people to move forward into tomorrow with faith and courage. Say a word about that, if you would.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's really plaguing the church today is this, if you want to call it a pandemic of biblical illiteracy. I mean, there are Christians today that would obviously name the name of Christ. They love Jesus, or at least that's what they feel in their heart, but they couldn't really tell you a whole lot about him or the Bible, especially as it relates to the times in which we're living. And I know when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, one of the things he said to them, he said, "I do not want you to be uninformed." And so with only anywhere from 9 to 14% of Christians, according to Barna, reading their Bibles every day, Susie, it creates that big void into which fear comes, into which misinformation comes, into which our own anxieties and those type of things reside. And yet the Word of God drives out all those things and gives us that sense of serenity. So that, I think that's one of the things we need to focus in on more, is just helping Christians get back to the Bible. It sounds very simplistic, but the power is in that simplicity.
Yeah, because it's living and active. It's the only book that's got power that's living and active. So at the open of the show, I asked friends to text in the top three things they're most looking forward to in eternity. I love Mark's answer. Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. I love that.
Yes.
Angela writes, the capacity to understand and take in more of God. That's beautiful. Mm. Christina says, praising with the multitudes, the joy I will feel in being in the presence of God with my brothers and sisters. Ah, so agree, Christina. To have Jesus welcome me, to experience heaven, and to have freedom. And this person, number one is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The two is the throne and he who sits on it. Three, no more sin, no more devil, no more world system, no more sorrow. Fantastic. We have amazing listeners, as you can tell, because they think about these things. A few more here. Being in the glorious presence of Jesus. I think of the song I Can Only Imagine. Seeing loved ones again. I think of the music, too. How beautiful it would be to praise our Heavenly Father face to face. That's from Gwen. Being with Jesus, no more death, no more suffering. Being reunited with loved ones forever. And Tina says, besides finally realizing how much Jesus has truly loved me, the fact that there'll be no more sickness, no more tears, honestly, that there'll be no more hate, anger, and offense that prevails so much right now. Beautiful. Any thoughts about these answers?
My goodness, those are great comments there, Susie. You know, in talking about heaven, years ago, I wrote a book with the I Can Only Imagine group, Mercy Me, called Worship. It's actually called I Can Only Imagine. It was just a book on worship. And in the book, I do talk about those same things, that, you know, when we get to heaven, there are going to be ways in which God's going to blow our minds. I mean, just think in the world of color. I mean, we're limited by the ability to understand colors and hues and spectrums right now, or in the world of sound. I mean, I tell people, think about your favorite group, your favorite artist, your favorite sound, symphony, whatever it might be. And yet that's all produced by human minds that are fallen by sin. Think about what the sound and the music and the choruses are going to be like in heaven. It's going to be unlike anything we can possibly conceive of. And then in terms of relationships, I mean, someone said one time, well, will we know each other in heaven? And I said, well, we won't really know each other until we get to heaven. And then when we do, we're going to love what we find, because we're all going to be made complete. And so when you think about being together with other believers, even right now, the most cherished, sweetest moments that you've ever had in fellowship pale in comparison to what we're going to experience then. So yes, that and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on. Amen. Amen. I keep saying it's just going to be a sensory explosion. You know, I think so often one of the reasons we try to make our life tie up in a nice bow on earth is because we think somehow God's holding out on us, you know, as if our best stuff is here. And I sometimes even hear that propagated in the body of Christ. And every good gift comes from God. I mean, I marvel. I'm in awe of his new morning mercies, of sunrises and sunsets, and a good bowl of dairy-free ice cream. I'm in awe of every good gift. Yeah. But this is not his best work. This is a taste of things to come, is it not?
It's very true. And the great thing about that is, even with the limited amount of understanding we have right now, the book of Ecclesiastes says to enjoy that now, though. I mean, once we've realized it's all from God, now realize that. And as you said, every good and perfect gift, enjoy to the fullest. I mean, sometimes people say, God, I'm so ready for Jesus to come back. And I am too. But don't neglect the day that he has given you. Like you said, the sunrise that he's given you, the family, the food, the enjoyment, the football game, whatever it is that God allows you to enjoy, fully enjoy that. And at the same time, have that sense of anticipation that it's only going to get better in our eternity.
Boy, that's so good. So good. This dear one texted in and said, the freedom in relationship with family in the kingdom of Christ, being face to face with Jesus and telling him thank you. That makes me want to cry. Learning and finding out my next job designed for me. Wow, that's an activated person for sure. Love that so much. Well, you know, listening to that episode from Prophecy Pros about the bright future ahead of us, you know, I've been thinking about this before that, but you really confirmed it in that episode. One of the reasons Christians don't want to talk about eschatology or the study of the end times is because it invokes fear. And you say, though, a proper study of end times theology actually should inspire faith, hope, and expectancy. But I wonder if people just stop at fear and then toss it aside and maybe even cloak it in, well, Jesus said we couldn't know the day or the time, so I'm sort of absolving myself from even thinking about it at all.
Right. Yeah, no, that's right. In fact, Charles Ryrie coined this term eschatological agnosticism, which basically means that we're just sort of not just ignorant. We just don't know anything basically about the end times. And, you know, ignorance does breed fear, Susie. It brings in the absence of truth, then we become afraid. In the absence of light in a dark room or a dark house, we become afraid. But flip the lights on, we know where everything is, everything's fine. And the scripture is the light into our path. It's the lamp into our feet, the light into our path. And it gives us that knowledge so that we don't have to be afraid. And I think, quite frankly, that's the reason if, as you study the book of Revelation chronologically, that before God reveals all the horrible judgments that are going to take place in chapters 6 through 18, really through 19, he takes John to heaven and he shows him the throne. And so he gets to have that sense of sovereign serenity in heaven before these things happen. What that does is it helps John to be able to bear knowing those things are going to take place.
A story on that episode blew me away. Your co-host shared about a friend of yours named Dr. Ed Heinzen, I think it is.
Yes,
and during
yes.
his passing last year, listen to this, friends, when he was with his whole family, he wasn't lucid for a couple of days. And on the day he passed, he sat up with perfect clarity and he said, "It's more beautiful than I imagined." Then he looked at each one of his loved ones and said, "Whatever you have to sacrifice in this life, it's all worth it." That also made me cry. Talk about how that impacted you.
Oh, man, it gets me emotional because I took over the teaching duties of Dr. Heinzen's television show, The King is Coming. And so it's a very personal connection. I got to spend time with him before he passed. And he was such a great mentor, but he was a man that was able to point you to the future, because our future informs our present. And that's something that the Apostle Paul did as well. I mean, I think about Colossians chapter 3 when he says, "Set your mind on things that are above, not of the things that are on the earth, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father." And, you know, you and I both know that old phrase that people call Christians sometimes are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. But in honesty, I've never seen a Christian like that. I've seen Christians that are very earthly minded, no heavenly good. And I think what we're sometimes afraid of, Susie, we're afraid of becoming sort of these monks or these people that are kind of walk on clouds that don't, their feet don't touch the ground. Trust me, that's not going to happen. The more that we put our mind on Christ, the more grounded we get on this earth and the more effective we become. And as we get our mind on the values, we adopt the values of heaven. We see where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of glory. That gives us confidence as well. And so that does give us a bright future. But again, it's just a scriptural glimpse of the glory that is to be revealed to us one day.
Wow. So get ready to go to break. I'm reminded of when Chip Ingram, he's been on a bunch of times, but one of the times he was on, he'd said, someone, I think it was a student who asked him, "How do I experience personal revival?" And he led them to Romans 12 and talked about offering your body as a living sacrifice. He said, so often we stall out when we're white knuckling and clinging to something. And with that in mind, I'm thinking again of Dr. Ed Heinzen. And listen to what he said right before he passed. "It's more beautiful than I imagined." And then he said, "Whatever you have to sacrifice in this life, it's all worth it." Like he got a glimpse of glory. And I'm just wondering, I'm thinking someone's listening today, and one of the reasons maybe you've stalled out is because you're white-knuckling something. You think God's holding out on you, and you're clinging to something where God is saying, "I have something better. I want you to live with eternity in mind." I want you just to think about that. As we go to break, again, my question is, what are the top three things you're most looking forward to in eternity? Text me, 877-933-2484. We're talking to Prophecy Pro Jeff Kinley. More with The Future is Bright. with Jeff Kinley in a minute. If you're a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome pack gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're talking to prophecy pro Jeff Kinley. We try to get him on once a month to talk about end times prophecies. Today, we're talking about an episode that he did on his podcast, and he titled it, Your Future is Bright, The Hope of Every Believer in the Last Days. And I'm telling you, we've got so much to look forward to. And there is a time in between. And we'll talk in a minute about how to live in the now and the not yet. In the meantime, I've asked you to text me. What are the top three things that you're most anticipating and looking forward to in heaven? Andrew says, no more worries, no more addictions, total relaxation. Sherry says, curling up in Jesus' lap and feeling his love. No more pain and hurt and sickness. Being with family and friends forever in his presence. So great. So, Jeff, in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it tells us, fix our eyes on what we cannot see, for what we see is temporary, what we cannot see is eternal. And, you know, some of us are so used to hearing that verse, we maybe don't even realize how counterintuitive it actually is. Fix your eyes on what you cannot see. And then you got Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above. So unpack those for us, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, we are people that are, in essence, we're slave to our senses. I mean, we've had these senses all our lives, physical sight, touch, taste, all these things that we're so accustomed to. And yet the spiritual part of us, you know, the Bible says that in John 3, we have to be born again. But essentially, we are born again spiritually. So that has to grow as well. So we have to develop our spiritual senses too. And what Scripture does is through engaging the Word of God, and through meditating on that, and through expressing that, and then living that out in our lives, that enables us to grow spiritually. We can actually see, I'm not talking about physical images, but we can perceive spiritual realities that the Bible speaks of and apply those things to our lives. Many of them have things that have already taken place, like the crucifixion, the resurrection, many things that are happening right now in terms of our sanctification, the way Christ is making us like himself. But many things too, Suzy, are also in the future. And because we haven't already experienced them, we have to experience them by faith. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that faith pleases God. Without it, it's impossible to please God. So we see those great spiritual realities as we continue to grow. So that's an encouragement not to give up on the process of sanctification, of becoming like Jesus, that all of us are in right now who know Christ. So continue on. And as that verse you quoted, 1 Corinthians 15:58, you know, be immovable, steadfast in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain.
You know, I remember many years ago when my boys were young and still at home, and I just was feeling the weight of the world on my shoulders for many reasons. And I'm very visual, so I love sunsets, sunrises. I love trees. I love the ever-changing sky, seeing eagles. You know, I just, all of it stops me in my tracks. And at that time, our house backed up to woods, and there were a lot of oaks and a lot of pines. And I would love to see just the wind would blow through them. And I glanced out the window, and immediately my eyes focused on this bird doo-doo on the window and just added it to my, I added it to my task list, and I just kept staring at it and felt the weight of it. And I felt just a little prompt from the Holy Spirit, look past it. And I looked past it. There's deer out in the woods. You know, the light is just kind of shimmering through the oaks as the wind blew. And it was like such a reminder, Jeff, to live in the big story. And, you know, you talked about this on this episode about you likened it to a concentration camp, that if the people that were the Christians and the Jews and the others who were held in the concentration camp, if they would have known help was coming, and, you know, how different might they have been able, especially those who made it to that point, right? But give us that kind of analogy as to how and how it relates to how we're living right now.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about those that were interred in those camps, many of them, they didn't know what was going to happen one day to the next. But if they had the information of knowing that the Russian army or the American army was coming to liberate those camps, then they would have told themselves, I can hold on for another day. Or they would have said to one another, we can hold on. We can hang in there for another day. And the great thing about our future as believers, Susie, is that we have such a great hope ahead of us. That encourages us to persevere, not to give up, not to give in, not to sit down, to stand up, to keep walking, to keep our eyes focused ahead, because it is all going to pay off in the end. And you know what? Honestly, and this is not a proud statement at all, but it's from the scriptures that, Christians, believers, are the only ones who can honestly say that. Because we're the only ones who have a God who is waiting to reward us for all the things that we've done. So no matter how dark it must be, as Corrie ten Boom said, who was in one of those camps, she says, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still. So draw from the deep well of God.
Wow, so good. I think she also said something like, God has no problems, only promises and solutions. So yeah, love that.
Exactly.
She's one of my one of my favorites. But you also told the story about a time you were in Central America on a mission trip, and your plane landed in a dumpy airport. And when you landed, you looked around to see all these wrecked planes, and you're thinking, not a place I want to stay for very long. So tell us that story and how it applies.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're on this missions trip and we're going from small country to small country. And yeah, we landed on this runway and I didn't have much hope knowing that the other planes on the side, this is a major airport in their country. The other planes were strewn to the side. They were wrecked. They were pillaged, all these things happening. And we used up every inch of that runway. And all I wanted to think about was get me out of here, get me to the next place here. And, you know, that's what we feel today. We look on the either side of us, we see the wreckage of the world, the wreckage of culture, society, lives, families, institutions, even the church in some ways. And sometimes we have this inner compulsion within us. God, just get me off this runway and get me born again into the altitude and get me towards heaven. And that is really the anxious anticipation I think that every true believer has. And I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in Philippians 3:20. He says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into the conformity of His glory." And so that's the hope that we have. And so if you're sitting on a runway right now, maybe you're sitting there on the tarmac and just wondering, are we ever going to take off? Yes, we are going to take off one day. So take hope. Make sure you're ministering to the rest of the folks on that plane.
Boy, so good. I have to confess, I left my Bible accidentally upstairs on the table. I wish so bad I had it with me. But one of the chapters of the Psalms that really gives me so much grounding and hope is Psalm 37. And there's this constant contrast about that don't fret about the wicked. You dwell in the land. You feed on the faithfulness. Don't fear, you know, the hostility of the wicked. They will get their due. You delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And then it says, Psalm 37:10, in a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully for his place, he will not be there, but the humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in an abundance of peace. But over and over again, Jeff, it's this constant contrast that God treats his children differently, for one thing, and we have a very real temptation to get so angry at the wicked that it actually eats up our own eternal reward because we're living in reaction to hatred rather than in response to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's true. We get our eyes on people instead of putting our eyes on Christ. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, as long as we're in this world, there's going to be prosperity among the wicked. There's going to be ebb and flow of righteousness and unrighteousness. And yet, again, when we really calibrate our minds and our hearts to the values of what's really important, what's most important. Maybe there's a dad out there. He's at work or he's driving home from work right now. Yeah, that job's important, but nothing is more important than your family. Or someone that is maybe a mom's changing a diaper right now. She's saying, wow, I'm literally looking at that bird poo on the window right now. It's just like, how do I get through this thing? And yet what you're doing is you're making disciples minute by minute, moment by moment, day by day. And I think of what that psalm says, Susie, in Psalm 37, verse 16, it says, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. And, you know, it just reminds us of the fact that if we focus in on God's values, as the hymn said, the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So it all comes down to what you're focusing on, where your heart attitude is, where your value system is, and where your desires are. Make those delights and those desires in the Lord.
Boy, so good. As we get ready to go to break, if you don't mind, I feel like I'm supposed to read this. I do have a Bible here. My main Bible's upstairs, but my other Bible is here right under my nose. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read this and then we'll head to break. And on the other side, Jeff, I would love to know how many Bible prophecies have been fulfilled and what's left to be fulfilled and just what we can know about what Scripture says about who we are, who God is, and what is to come. But here is Psalm 37. I just think maybe you need to hear this today, especially if you find yourself very caught up in the behavior of the wicked and the actions of the wicked. If it feels like the wicked are winning the day, remember our enemy is the enemy. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but he does use unsuspecting people. But here's Psalm 37. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they'll soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they'll soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. And that happens when you're staring at the doo-doo. You start to react to people. You get angry. You get full of rage. You lose your temper. All of that leads to harm. The wicked will be destroyed. But those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they'll be gone. The lowly, the humble will possess the land and live in peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance. But the Lord just laughs. For he sees their day of judgment coming. The wicked draw their swords, they string their bows to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. But their swords will stab their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. It's better to be godly and have a little than to be evil and rich, for the strength of the wicked will be shattered. But the Lord takes care of the godly. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times, and even in famine, they will have more than enough. But the wicked will die. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They'll disappear like smoke. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. Those the Lord blesses will possess the land, but those he curses will die. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they'll never fall, and the Lord holds them by the hand. Once I was young and I'm old, yet I've never once seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. The godly always give generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing. Turn from evil and do good, and you will live in the land forever. For the Lord loves justice, and he will never abandon the godly. He will keep them forever. He will keep them safe forever. But the children of the wicked will die. The godly will possess the land and live there forever. The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. They've made God's law their own, so they will never slip from his path. The wicked wait in ambush for the godly, looking for an excuse to kill them. But the Lord will not let the wicked succeed or let the godly be condemned when they're put on trial. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. I have seen wicked and ruthless people flourishing like a tree in its native soil. But then I looked again and they were gone. Though I searched for them, I could not find them. Look at those who are honest and good. For a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future. The Lord rescues the godly. He's their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. Don't you love the word? We'll be back in a minute. More with Jeff Kinley in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Bible prophecy expert Jeff Kinley. He joins us about once a month. We get him on when we can. He's a busy man. He's written a lot of great books about end times prophecy. Today we're talking about an episode from his Prophecy Pros podcast, which is fantastic. I highly recommend it, and we will put a link to his podcast in our show notes. But he had an episode titled Your Future is Bright, The Hope of Every Believer in the Last Days. And what he did on that podcast we're wanting to do today is so often when you're talking about end times theology and the difficult days and the birth pains, we can get stuck in and lost in the hard parts of the story that we forget to look up. We forget to look beyond some of the hardships because Scripture says what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us when Christ returns. What we suffer now, it's kind of like if you've ever given birth, when you're in the middle of giving birth, you think, I'll never do this again. And then you have that baby and you've got a lifetime of fruitfulness, of life, of memories, of, I mean, moments with a child that's just, you know, and that it's just amazing. It's like a gift that kind of keeps reproducing that momentary pain, the life that it springs forth. How much more so that what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us when Christ returns. And Jeff, I don't know if I've ever asked you this question before, and forgive me if it's, I'm sure you can answer, but if I'm throwing a ball at you that you weren't ready for, let me know that as well. But how many prophecies have been fulfilled thus far?
Well, it depends on how you count, honestly, because some prophecies are repeated, and so that prophecy is only really fulfilled once in history, but there are many prophecies that lead up to it. But depending on how you count, there have been about 1,800 different prophecies in the Bible. Some have predicted that there, or have said that there's about 500 or more that have been fulfilled, and at least 500 that are yet to be fulfilled in the end times. Of course, when Christ came, he was prophesied. There was 333 prophecies about Jesus in the Bible. He fulfilled 109 of them in his first coming. So sometimes we think, and especially in this season at Christmas, as we get up to Christmas time, we think, well, I guess Jesus has done his job. No, there's still 224 prophecies about Jesus that have not yet been fulfilled. And of course, 28% of the Bible's prophecy, and God chose to end his entire written revelation of Scripture with a book that is 95% prophecy. So apparently that's very important to him. But I think it's important, Susie, for us to know that, yeah, there's hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that are still waiting for their fulfillment.
And what are the odds of the prophecies that have been fulfilled? What are the odds of that happening?
Yeah, well, specifically as it relates to Christ, it's about 1 in 10 to the 15th power, which Dr. Peter Stoner, the famous mathematician, did the calculation one time. He said if you took a silver dollar and you filled the entire state of Texas 2 feet deep in silver dollars, he said that's the number 1 in 10 to the 15th power. It's 1 in 10 quadrillion, something to that effect. And he said, if you were to mark one of those silver dollars and just randomly mix it up in that 2 feet deep pile of Texas size silver dollars, and you blindfold a man and drop him from a helicopter, and on the first try, he picks the marked silver dollar. He said, that is the chance of one human in history fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies that Christ fulfilled. Wow. So he said, the result of that is if you don't believe that Christ is the Son of God based purely on mathematical statistical probability, fulfilling those Old Testament prophecies, he said, then you really are not engaging with the facts. So it's mind-blowing. I mean, God has put his evidence everywhere, and not the least of which is in prophecy, which is a great apologetic.
Wow, that's fascinating. You also said on that episode, Your Future is Bright, you talked about how science and archaeology are kind of catching up with Scripture. I mean, they are now backing up Scripture. Say more about that.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about it, God is the God of science. He's the one that invented the laws of physics, the laws of nature. And one of the most fascinating things that I uncovered was that there was an evolutionist back in the 19th century by the name of Herbert Spencer, and he claimed that we could understand everything in the universe based on these five things: time, force, energy, space, and matter. And yet, when you go to the very first verse of the Bible, you have in the beginning, time, God, force, created, energy, space, heavens, matter, the earth. Wow. So in the first 10 words of the Bible, according to evolutionists, you can understand everything there is to know. And again, archaeology has proven the Bible over and over again. Every time they uncover a mound of dirt over in the Holy Land, they prove the Scripture, everything from the Hittite people to the use of camels to the use of writing in certain times to Pontius Pilate. all of these things, literally all these things have been proven right. And even recently, finding inscriptions on coins that talk about Israeli kings and King David and that type of thing. So Wow. Yeah, science, hydrology, you could talk about the discovery of the flowing of the blood through the body that Leviticus talks about. Everything in scripture is backed up.
Wow, it's amazing. If you were to make your best guess, Jeff, what percentage of Christians do you think are actually living with eternity in mind?
Wow, that's a tough question. I would say based upon the number of Christians that are actually engaging with the Word of God, which is where you get that perspective, I would say somewhere around 10%.
Wow.
And what's really sad about that, Susie, is that there's so much available and waiting for those believers if they'll just simply engage the Word of God. Now, granted, they might not be in a church that's very vibrant with the Word each Sunday, but find that. Find a trusted voice. Find a trusted teacher. Another church maybe is what you might need. But yeah, that 10% that's engaging with the Bible on a daily basis, those are the ones that are really dialed in to what God is doing in terms of eternity.
Don't you feel like, you know, the days, the way that they are and where they're going, that we really have to choose this day, walking the middle of the road, having one foot in and one foot out? I mean, I think you could pull that off in years past because we lived in a safe country and had enjoyed freedoms that most, you know, Christians around the world don't. And we're still so incredibly blessed, but the tide is turning, and it never pleases God that we live with one foot in, one foot out. But I'm just saying people could get away with it, so to speak, without feeling a lot of consequence, at least in this life. They will in the next, on that day of account. But doesn't it seem like the days are such that it is really time for us to choose this day?
Well, there's becoming more of a distinctive between darkness and light, I believe. Yeah. I mean, again, we used to have culture sort of backing us up in America. I mean, there was basic right and wrong, marriage, family, those type of things. I mean, we sort of just, if you were just a good American person who believed in God, you sort of fit in everywhere. But now things are becoming so polarized in our culture. And I'm just reminded of what Jesus said in John 17, his last prayer, essentially, before he died, was he said about his disciples, God, don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. In other words, keep them from being dominated by the influence where the evil one is influencing in the world. Satan is the god of this world. Jesus called him the ruler of this world. And so it's just very important for us to be in the world, but not of it. But while we're in the world, to make sure that we don't hide our light.
Amen. My last couple events were just huge women's conferences. Amazing. The air was electric, but I felt so convicted toward the end of the message when it came time to bring the gospel. I knew both of these events had women were bringing friends that were unsaved. Yeah. So when I presented the gospel, I said, normally at this point in a church service or a conference, we would, for the sake of honoring your privacy, everybody would say, heads bowed, eyes closed. But I just said, we're not in that day anymore. You're going to need some courage to follow Jesus, but he's worth it. Yeah. Life on earth is short. So with heads raised and eyes wide open, anybody who wants to trust Jesus for their eternity, raise your hand. And I can't explain it to you, Jeff, just hands just shot up without any hesitation. And because women saw it, the crescendo of women just screaming and their voices going, oh, my word. It was electric because it was like these women weren't holding back. They're like, I don't care who's watching. I want to follow Jesus. And, again, it makes me want to weep when I think about, you watch the news too much. You just think it's all bad news. But God has boots on the ground and God is moving in the hearts of his people, isn't he?
He is. And that's another reason why it's so critical that kind of invitation is given, because if you think about two things, we're mirroring really the first century in so many different ways in terms of the way believers were treated in their first century culture. And Susie, when they became believers, they're not hiding their faith. I mean, they are walking by the statues of Caesar. They're refusing to bow down. They're refusing to say Caesar is Lord. They're coming together on Sunday nights with the other believers in unity and in fellowship with one another. They're the ones that really are standing out. And guess what? They were persecuted because they stood out. In fact, in Acts, in the book of Acts, in the city of Antioch, they made up this name, Christians, as a way to mock those who are following Christ. And so we have to be willing to stand up for Christ. Jesus said, if you stand up for me, if you are not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you. And so now is a time where it doesn't take much. I think about this this young lady over in California. You've seen her, this Kat Von, whatever her name is. She, this tattoo artist that was this huge, huge media influence on television, really into the dark arts and Satanism. She just gave her life to Jesus Christ and publicly aired her baptismal service. And she knew from that moment on, she was going to get a lot of heat, and here it comes. And so it's true for all of us. It may come from our families, from our school. It may come from work, the workplace, or from the community, or from social media. But listen, as you said earlier, no sacrifice we make for him is too great, because when we will see him, we'll see that he was indeed worthy of everything we gave up.
Come on. Amen. Amen. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about, you said that there's not a verse in the Bible that tells us to look for the Antichrist, but there's plenty in Scripture that says, look for Jesus, look for him. And he even says in the Gospel of Luke, if I come back and find you, or is it, it was Jesus' words, if I remember right, if I find you about my Father's business, I will put on an apron. I'll look that up during the break. But looking for Jesus, living, dwelling in the land, feeding on his faithfulness while keeping our eyes up, and just hopeful expectancy for Jesus' soon return. Talking to Jeff Kinley, more with him in just a moment. If you listen to me often enough, you know I believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous accomplishes great and powerful things. I am passionate about prayer, and we all need it. And we would love to pray for you. The Faith Radio team, we're serious about prayer, and we pray for specific listener requests every single week. So if you have a request, if you're walking through a difficult time, you can share your prayer request with us anonymously and securely on our website at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to our prophecy expert, Bible prophecy expert, Jeff Kinley. Check out his books. He's got a lot of them. I've got one sitting in front of me right now titled As It Was in the Days of Noah, Warnings from Bible Prophecy About the Coming Global Storm. He's got one, Awaken the Bride. He's got a bunch of them. Check them out. But today we're talking about, we're drawing the content from one of his podcast episodes, forgive me, Your Future is Bright, The Hope of Every Believer in the Last Days. We will link up his podcast in our show notes, and you can search Your Future is Bright, and you'll find it there. So good. But in that episode, Jeff, you talked about how the Scripture isn't telling us to look for the Antichrist. We're supposed to look for Jesus. So say more about that.
Absolutely. It's a strong evidence for the fact that I don't believe that we're going to see Antichrist or go through, suffer under the wrath and 666 and that type of thing, because we're never told to really prepare for that. But what the Bible does say, as you do a survey throughout the New Testament, particularly the epistles of Paul, Suzy, there are dozens of verses that tell us to be expectant and to look for Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a couple of them here that I think are so encouraging to anyone's listening today. 1 Corinthians 1:7, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20, we eagerly wait for a Savior. 1 Thess 1:10, to wait for his Son from heaven. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior. James 5:8, being patient until the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is near. Just a couple of others here. For in a little while, Hebrews 10:37, he who is coming will come and will not delay. 1 Peter 1:13, fix your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you. And then Jude 21, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then four times in Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. And of course, you and I have used this word together before, the word Maranatha, which from 1 Corinthians 16:22 is an Aramaic word that just simply means our Lord come, our Lord come. And we believe, Susie, that's the way that this first century church greeted one another as they walked through the door. Maranatha, may the Lord come. And when they left, they waved goodbye and said, Maranatha. That is a spirit of expectancy.
Wow, so good. Another line that you just, it was just a short line in your podcast, but it was like, I grabbed a hold of it because I thought it was just such profound wisdom. But you said we should pause and pray and thank God for the eternity that awaits us. You know, I've been talking about how important it is to have, I mean, I've spent whole prayer times thanking God for things that haven't happened. I mean, you know, we can get into entitlement and ingratitude when we're all we're doing is facing our troubles. But even in those places, you think so much hasn't happened to you. So much God has protected you from, and thanking Him for that even, to me, ignites faith. But to pause and thank God now before our faith becomes sight about, I mean, think about all the things people texted in during the show when I said, give me your top three things you're most excited about. People have some kind of grasp of what they're looking forward to in eternity, but how often do we spend some time pausing now and thanking God for it?
That's so true. I initially thought about when you said that, Luke 17, where Jesus heals the 10 lepers and one comes back glorifying God, thanking Him, falling on his knees, and it says he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus said in verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed, but the nine, where are they? And it just ignites within me. So I just had I was very humbled to have my testimony was filmed and broadcast this past weekend by my good friend, Tom Hughes. And this is getting a lot of plays. And I haven't really talked about my testimony in a long time, but it made me remember to go back and be the one, don't be the nine, to think about what has God done for you. Praise God. Thank God. Think about where you could be today were it not for the grace of God. That's the past. But then there's the present. Romans 7, Paul talks about the struggle with sin, with the flesh, with everything in this world. And at the end, he says, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ has set me free from the power of sin. And then we look forward to, as John 14, so Jesus so articulately put that I will go away, but if I go away, I'll come again. And while I'm gone, I'll be in the Father's house preparing a place for you. Listen, Jesus Christ is the master carpenter. He is the one with infinite wisdom and power is going to create a place for us to be. And that's all for us because we are a part of His dear bride. So you talk about a bright future, a bright hope. You talk about having something to look forward to, the blessed hope, the eternal hope, and the hope of being in heaven with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and with all the saints from the ages. Susie, that is a bright future.
Oh, wow. And you think of how meticulous He is and how He delights in every detail of our lives and how He moves on every act prompted by our faith. I mean, you give a cup of water, He makes note of it. I don't want us to live with any regrets. I keep thinking, Jeff, there's going to be that flickering moment when I see Him that I'll have just a bit of regret going, I wish I wouldn't have held back in any way. I wish I would have been all in, you know? And I think about, you know, sowing generously. He says, store for yourselves treasures in heaven. And you can correct me, but I really believe He's asking us to sow because where your treasure is, your heart is, and He wants our hearts tethered to eternity and to the kingdom so that we're not so attached to things on earth, you know?
Absolutely. And because Christ has crowns waiting for us, He has adulation waiting for us. He has approval waiting for us. He has well done, good and faithful servant waiting for us. And that's what we hope for because down here, we're kind of stuck on this rock spinning in space. But when we get up to heaven, God's going to make everything worth it. And I believe, Susie, there'll be things that Jesus will bring up at the judgment seat of Christ that we did for Him that we even forgot. But He said, you know what? I didn't forget it. I counted it. And it's all going back to helping you enjoy eternity even more with me.
Wow. I want to wrap with one last passage. This is the passage from Luke 12. Be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward servants who are ready. Just a few, like 30 seconds left. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, just the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. I mean, the message was wake up, be ready, get your garments on because I'm coming soon. And the greatest non-regret we will all have in all of eternity is that we were not ashamed at his appearing, as 1 John 3 says. So get ready, bride. Christ could come back at any time.
Living ready, living with the holy expectancy, dealing with your heart. Don't harbor unforgiveness or grudges, and don't coddle your flesh and all the stuff that you want to indulge in. And this isn't about legalism. It's really about coming into the fullness of who God is, because this is why you're here. Jeff, thank you. Thank you for such a hopeful, beautiful message. Our hearts needed to hear it today.
Amen. Thank you for having me on.
We appreciate you. Pray for Jeff. He's a busy guy, and he's so generous to give us time today. I pray you found some encouragement here today. Let me know by texting me an amen if this is what your heart needed. I sure love doing this journey with you. Remember to look up. Remember to live with expectancy. Remember to read the Bible and spend time with God. Nobody loves you and knows you like he does. He knows you best and loves you most. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.